I personally like to go on vacation and leave my family behind. I think that's a great plan.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. It's Eclectic DIY. It's me and Nicole. Today, we're going to talk about travel tips for traveling with your family or with your friends. Welcome, Nicole.
Or with your family and friends.
Yes, which makes it even worse.
Hey, depends on the family, depends on the friends. Depends on how much you're drinking. No, family.
So full disclosure, I'm in my basement office and my in-laws are upstairs and they may hear what I say because I talk loud evidently. So I have to behave myself.
Oh, I wouldn't have expected you to be a loud talker, but okay.
When I drank, I would talk even louder. So I'm glad I don't drink for a lot of reasons now, but the NA beers are really good. If you want athletic as a, you know, middle of the road brand, but there's some local ones that are really quite good. So there you go.
Well, and we got the Athletica ones by mail for a while.
Yes.
Which is great.
Now they sell them in, I've seen them in Wegmans. I've seen them in the local grocery store here. So, wow. Anyway, off on a tangent. So, long story short, my wife and I went with our across the street best friend neighbors to London. We had been planning this trip all during COVID. They were in our COVID pod. We would have dinner with them. And we were like, look, if we all get sick, we're all just going to get sick just because we needed somebody to be with because we don't have an extended family. And we planned this trip. We bought the tickets as soon as I think we had our second vaccine and the UK was allowing people in. And then our two friends got COVID like a day before we were going to fly out.
Oh my God.
This is my first tip, is make sure your tickets are changeable or refundable and or buy travel insurance, which may seem like a scam, but my father-in-law, who travels greatly, always buys it and it has bailed him out several times and saved him thousands of dollars.
No, remember my horrible story about us driving across the country?
Yes.
We had bought the insurance, and so they paid for the hotels of us driving. They paid for the car of us driving. They even paid for our food.
Yeah, it's I think if you buy with Chase Platinum, if you buy your flights with Chase Platinum or some of the higher end American Express cards, that is baked in. But just double check that.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that it was a hassle. Like, you had to fill out insurance forms and, you know, they wanted everything in triplicate. They had an online portal, but like it was not nothing. And so obviously save all of your receipts,
right?
So a lot of times we had to use our credit card statement to show that and they did accept that. They did accept that, but just save your receipts for that kind of thing.
Yeah, it really helped us. And we used Virgin Atlantic, which I have had very good success with. And because of the pandemic, they actually extended the time that we could reschedule the tickets to like a year and a half. That was very, very generous of them. And it's smart because I'm now telling everyone the good experience I had with Virgin Atlantic.
Right.
So you got to reset. If you buy the cheap flight on the cheap airline, what's the yellow one? There's a couple of very inexpensive airlines. Because they're so cheap, they don't offer a lot of perks. So just be careful of that.
Right. Yeah. I really like this airline called WOW that would fly from DC or Baltimore to Berlin, and you stop in Iceland. And
then
I had like just taken a trip, and I'm a sucker for the cheap trip. And so like a month later, they just ceased operation. And like, there was nothing. There was like nobody to go talk to. There was nobody to call. It was just like, if you had a WOW ticket that you were supposed to fly back from Europe, it was like game over. Ooh. And you might think that had put me off of the cheap Icelandic airlines, but no, it hasn't. In fact, I'm flying on the new iteration, which is Play, to Berlin in a few months. And my ticket was $315. I just couldn't not buy it. It was like, I can't, $315 to fly me all the way to Germany and back?
Oh, wow.
I know, right? My cheap gene is so strong. So we'll see if I make it back.
So we both have pointers to talk about in actual aircraft selection.
Yes. So full disclosure, my kids are bigger now, but when they were little, I turned to a good friend, Laura, who was like a pro flyer with her children, because they were flying a lot. And she always said to look at, there's a website that you can look at called Seat Scanner or Seat. I can't remember the exact name of it. And it will tell you the layout for all the different planes. Now, I kind of does that when you go through to select your seat. But you want, if you're flying with small children, the idea is to get a free seat for them. Because they're so little, you don't have to buy the one. So if it's like a row of three by the window, you want to get the one next to the aisle and the one next to the window, because you have a higher likelihood of that middle one being empty. Mm-hmm. And then you actually have to put the baby by the window if they're in a bucket. That's an FAA thing. But having the baby in a bucket is really great, because then they just fall asleep.
I'd like to be in a bucket.
I know. And you just take the bucket. You just carry them around in a bucket. it's actually a car seat. We just call them buckets because they have a handle.
Yeah.
And you can carry them like that. They're not actual buckets. I'm not putting them in a 5 gallon garden fork version of a 5 gallon bucket.
I'm not sure. I know I'm a big flyer on Southwest. I'm a big fan of them because they allow you to change flights without a fee. And cancel your flight and keep the money in escrow as a credit for a year. But when I'm shopping for tickets and scheduling, they will tell you what airplane they're flying. And
right.
They fly 757s, I think. But there's different iterations of the 757, 700, 757, 800. Or is it the 727? Anyway, someone's yelling back at the podcast right now. But you can use that information to then go to one of these sites to show the layout to get an idea of, like when we flew on Virgin Atlantic to London, it was two seats near the windows and then an aisle and then a five row in the smack in the middle.
Right.
And I'm like, we don't want that. So we specifically got seats on the sides, and it was just a two-seater, so it was perfect. But on the way back, it was a three-seater on each side, and then some people crammed in the middle as well. It was a bigger plane. And we were lucky that no one sat next to us in the three-seat one, but still, it's something to think about, because otherwise you're stuck.
Right, you're totally stuck.
I don't know with all airlines if the earlier you book the flight is the earlier you're allowed your seat choice or not.
Well, it just makes sense that like fewer people have bought a ticket. So you have a greater choice in seats. Now, Google will tell you how when you're going to googleflights.com, it will tell you how the current prices stack up against the average price. There's a little bar. Uh-huh. And, you know, obviously if it's in the green, you're like, oh yeah, I should book this now, but that you can book too early. So like I read someplace and I don't know if this is true, but that 2 months out is the sweet spot. But, another website that we use a lot is, I think it's called Fare Tracker. I should double check that. And it kind of does the same thing as the Google Flights, but you can set up an alert. So if the price goes below X, shoot me a message. I'll go buy that right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the way back, we were in a larger, wider airplane, and we were in the Economy Plus, which is worth it with Virgin Atlantic. It gives you a couple more inches, and it doesn't cost that much more. And we were in the front of the Economy Plus area of the plane, and then right in front of that was the business class. And there's like a wood, I don't know, it's wood or plastic wall divider there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a row of seats that face it. I think they call it a bulkhead, but it faces that wall. And there are little clips on there where people with children, they can have a little bassinet kind of thing. And my point here is that front row is usually booked up by people with at least many children. I'll just say, because on the way back, there was an extended family of two parents and probably six children, and they got that row, the front row, because they could hook the bassinet for the small child. and they just let their kids run.
Oh my gosh. Well, you have to book that bassinet, like you said, ahead. Yeah. I have one friend that they loved it. They always booked that bassinet. Obviously, your kids, you know, age out of that pretty quick. I never did the bassinet because I didn't totally understand the like usefulness, but who am I?
My point is to not pick a seat anywhere near that.
Well, and apparently some airlines are now, I read this, that they're going to have like on the train, they're going to have a quiet zone.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
So that means no kids.
Yeah.
I know some people who travel with kids carry like a wallet full of Starbucks cards.
Oh.
And they just, at the end of the flight, they just hand them out and they're like, hey, look, sorry, like, you know.
I was on one flight where the couple had little bags of the orange foamy earplugs. And they just
they just
turned around and handed them out to everybody. They're like, we're sorry, we'll do the best we can. And that's really nice because the people that did sit there were kind of laissez-faire about it. And the flight attendants, at least once that I saw, said, your children have to stay in their seats. And they didn't even acknowledge it, you know?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, well, so I'm going to go with Economy Plus, but I'm going to pick seats in the back of Economy Plus, not...
Oh, see, no. Because you don't ever want to be by the toilet. No. Honestly, I've very rarely seen those people like you just described, the eight person family. No, I really think you should stick at the front. First of all, the air is coming from the front. The fresh air is coming from the front. Oh. So I mean, full disclosure here, my family worked in the airline industry. My father was a pilot.
Oh, that's right.
My brother's a pilot. My mom was a flight attendant. I was basically born on a plane. So you want to sit at the front, as close to the front as possible, not just for getting in and getting off the plane, but also because the air circulates. It goes into the intake, through the bottom of the plane, and back up from the cockpit back.
Wow. We're getting the inside scoop here.
There you go.
One of my neighbor best friends is a flight attendant, and he flies the intercontinental flights. He goes, right now he's going to Milan and back. And
wow, yeah.
It's terrible because he flies there and then he has a layover for a day and then he has to fly back. So every week he spends one day in Milan traipsing around, you know.
Yeah, my mom would get her hair done in Paris. So she was born blonde once a month. And so she'd go to Paris until she had children. And then, well, then everything changed. Yeah. My dad flew to Asia for Delta.
Oh, neat. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My friend works for Delta. He really likes it. It's he tells stories. When he retires, he's going to be on the podcast.
Oh, good.
It might be in a couple years. He said he could be on social media, but not identifiable. But he has a very identifiable voice, I think.
No.
So someone at the airline would be like, that's you know who. Mm. And he's on a podcast telling secrets.
Well, and my brother works for Alaska, and I have had great experience with Alaska. One time we got to the airport and we had, you know, our seats were all messed up somehow. And, you know, I went up to the gate agent. I was like, hey, there's four of us. We got two littles. Like, is there anything you can do? They had already started boarding the plane and they had people on the plane move so the four of us could sit together, which, I mean, that was so helpful. Yeah. It was so nice.
I moved you know, for they people. Were I've done that.
Yeah.
I'm like, sure, if we can make the whole airplane happy, I will move.
I will move.
I did see once where this guy was being, politely, I'll just say, a jerk. And it's just a bro, you know, and the flight attendant was trying to seat this family. And he was sitting in the middle and he could have easily moved. And he's like, well, what are you going to give me? No, I don't want to move. And then another flight attendant came in and said, I will give you 10 drink tickets to move. And then he moved. And I'm like, that is such a jerk thing to do. We're all in this stainless steel tube. We want to get somewhere on time, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you quickly my friend's best travel tips regarding traveling with young children.
All right.
And it's the large Ziploc bag, and you make little go bags. So in the Ziploc bag, you put a diaper, you put some wipes, and you put a change of clothes. And you bring four of them on the plane.
Oh.
And that way you can just grab them out of your back. You can just grab one out when things go sideways, which they do. Grab one out of your backpack. You can get the kid fixed up real quick in the bathroom and, you know, put all the soiled stuff back in the Ziploc.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that is brilliant. And her other pro tip was to always bring a spare shirt for you.
Hey, real quick, one easy way to support Garden Fork is if you're going to shop online and use Amazon, please use the link to our storefront. The link is in the show notes here. If you click on that, it'll open it up in your web browser. If you're on a laptop or desktop, it will open it up into your app, ideally, if you're using the Amazon mobile app. Please shop locally. I go to my local hardware store first. If I can't find it there, then I go to the orange or blue store. If I can't find it there, then I order it online. So if you are shopping online, use our Amazon link, amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you. Well, let's move on to the actual, once we get to the city or the country that we're visiting.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
You travel with your family. You have two half-brothers that live in Berlin. Is that correct?
No, I have nobody who lives in Berlin other than my friends. Oh. The half-brothers live in America.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
But I want to go to Berlin because there, I've said before, I am part of German royalty.
Yes. 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 We all, I'm bowing to you right now.
And there's a museum. My last name is Rachow, and there's a Rachow Museum outside of Berlin on the way to Heidelberg. So my sister and I want to go there. But I thought I'd relate some of my most recent travels with our couple friends. And I guess you can also relate for traveling with your family. You want to go first?
No, you go first.
I would say don't spend the whole time together 100% of the time is the biggest thing. One of the people we were with wanted to schedule a lot of things. And I said, in a friendly, nice way, I said, look, my wife and I are going to go. We're going to maybe go see something with you and maybe spend the day alone together. And they were like, oh, okay. And once I set that kind of ground operation, it was actually clearly quite good.
Yeah. You have to have set expectations, right? Yep. I think that's clear. And I personally like to go on vacation and leave my family behind. I think that's a great plan. I mean, last time ended up in Berlin, I was there for a reunion, and Oscar was sick, the little guy, and so Brent ended up spending some non-trivial amount of time in the hotel room while I was traipsing around Berlin, which actually I do feel bad about.
That's okay.
It happens. But I mean, traveling with a good partner is key, right? Like, we're both flexible, we're both able to, like, I mean, react to what's going on. And I guess my best tip is to figure out what's most important to the person you're traveling with them seeing. So Brent and I align. We both want to go to coffee shops.
Yes.
And we want to go to bookstores. So we have, like, mapped out, we've done a little research, we've figured out which coffee shop we're going to hit that day, coffee shop or two. So I do think that is key.
That's funny, because we went to a Holiday Inn in Kensington, London, and I was fine with that because I wanted predictability. I have really bad dust mite allergies, and I needed a clean room, and that worked out well. And then I literally opened up on my iPad Apple Maps, and the main road in Kensington is kind of high-end, fashion-y, but also touristy. And I zoomed in, and three curvy roads in was a little cafe that was highly rated. And so we went over there, and it's run by this really nice French lady. Well, nice in a French way, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And it's just locals there sitting, having their morning coffee after they've dropped their kids off at the school across the street. And so we went there every morning, and then we planned our day while sitting there and having our coffee. So we didn't pick a different cafe every day. We went to the same one, and we became friendly with the French lady and the staff. Because you know me, I just start talking to everybody. And it was clear I was the American wearing Carhartt in London, you know. But then sometimes we would just walk around, and we found this museum of design three blocks from the hotel, which was fantastic, and I didn't even know existed. We found a farmer's market in the neighborhood, and we ended up talking to these beekeepers about beekeeping, and they gave us a jar of honey, and we follow them on social media now. And I call it the happy accident, and I love happy accidents in life. And then we found an Italian restaurant that wasn't on any of the tourist guides because we avoid the tourists. It was literally about the size of a one bedroom, and you know, that was clearly a family run operation. And we went there, and they were super nice. We didn't have a reservation; they just sat us at the counter, you know. And that, I like that kind of not having this, okay, at 10 a.m. we have to be at the Tower of London. Because our friends are going, you want to go to the Tower of London? I'm like, no. Why? I'm like, because I've seen it in pictures. It's a bridge, you know?
It's not. That's not what I'm traveling for.
Right.
Right.
So don't jam up the day. Just the happy accident is good. I wanted to go to one of Yotam Ottolenghi's restaurants. And so I made the reservation in advance. And that was a bucket list thing. And it was interesting because they use, I think Resy is the reservation thing,
right?
And it said, are you here for a special event, and you can leave a comment. And I said, this is on my bucket list, and I was hoping maybe they would like comp us a little dessert or something. They didn't, but still, Yotam was there. He's a New York Times food writer. He has his own series of books. He has 4 restaurants, and he's just this regular guy, you know, from Palestine or Palestinian heritage. And that was
fun. His books are amazing. Highly recommended. they're very easy to follow and kind of my kind of recipe books because, I don't know, he gives you a little wiggle room. Along the lines of happy accidents, so the best cup of – I mean, I've had a lot of coffee. The best cup of coffee I've ever had, and this is – I can't tell you what high praise this is, was at Cafe Communion in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And kind of like you, I had done the research. I had like figured out this was supposed to be a really great place. So we ended up going there. And not all excellent coffee shops have excellent food, but this place had wonderful breakfast, you know, avocado toast, which you're like, avocado, it's great. It was a very good avocado toast. Had a couple things. So we ended up going there 3 mornings.
Yeah.
And we had gone to Puerto Rico because a friend of ours has a house there and he let us stay there. So it was free. And so we had talked to him and they're very good, close friends of ours. And I had talked to the boys. I was like, listen, we might not see our friend. He's very busy. Like, don't be upset. Like, he really loves us. Like, we're staying at his house, but you know, he's got a lot going on. And we walk in the third day to the coffee shop. And I had texted our friend and told him like how amazing this coffee shop was. And there he is.
Nice.
And it was just like the best. So we ended up spending the whole day with our buddy and, you know, he got to take us around and show us some stuff and it just like worked out. But yeah, that was really, that was really fun.
We actually saw at the airport at JFK in New York, a friend of my wife's that she has not seen in 10 years. And just literally, you know, the airport is jam packed. And I'm like, isn't that Ellen? And she's like, yeah, that is Ellen. So I'm like, hey, Ellen. You know, of course, I'm the one that'll yell across an airport, you know, hey, Ellen. And so it was just, it's amazing how, you know, in the millions of people or whatever, you just run into people. The other thing I liked about the Holiday Inn especially is it had a full restaurant, but it had a bar. And at the end of the day, we would sit at the bar and they didn't have any NA beer. But so I just had like a seltzer or something. But there were business people in the U that were traveling through the UK. One guy was from Ireland we talked to who owns a Volkswagen ID4.
You know?
And then we were talking about electric cars and he says, you know, range in Ireland, the range doesn't matter because 240 miles, you can drive across the whole country.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
And I'm like, because I think, is Ireland about the size of Delaware or something? Don't yell at me, Ireland, okay? But anyway.
Gosh, well, I want to look that up. That's fascinating. Because Montana is about the size of Germany.
Yeah. And then there was an English, I don't know, English is the right word, but England guy. And he ran a security firm. And he was telling us stories about, he started out as a security guard and built up this company. And they do, you know, concerts and events. And it was just very interesting. So there's also that happy accident. And it's clear we're Americans because you just, as soon as you start talking, they know it. And everyone was, it, Let's just call it the jerk factor in London is so much lower than the jerk factor in New York City. And I was like, wow, we're in this urban place and not 90% of the people aren't unhappy, you know?
I mean, but Eric, that like goes to the reason to travel, like to see how other people live.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, we don't all have to be jerks. Yeah. Like everybody can calm down, you know, like we can decide to eat with our fork and our other hand. It's okay. Nothing's going to happen.
We can eat pizza with a knife and fork, which is heresy here, by the way. I want to go back to London. And the other thing was that the camera operator and I got along, and European hotel rooms are not large. And I opted at the Holiday Inn for the deluxe room, which I think was 3 feet wider or something. And even that was not large, you know, and we got along. As a couples, you know, you kind of know each other so well that you just, there's sometimes some friction there. And no, it was really good. And I want to go back. It was kind of fun. The logistics of getting to the airport and getting the dogs taken care of can be a little draining. But once you're on the plane, you're like, oh, and the other thing is if you have Netflix, you can load up your iPad. You can download movies and TV shows onto your iPad for the 6 or 7 hour flight.
Oh yeah, that's a good. My cheap Icelandic airline. They don't have anything. They don't have. I mean, they'll give you a water if you like look at them with puppy dog eyes. But you have to kind of plan ahead. What kind of luggage? What were you guys taking for your luggage?
We took one large suitcase. The camera operator travels internationally, and she has a very large suitcase for that. Next time, we would bring two smaller ones. We realized because. We organize our clothes differently.
Yeah, no,
so
I hear
then
that.
I'd be like, I'm digging through the suitcase going, where are my socks?
Right. So traveling with the, so I've got two things. When I travel alone, I'm trying to game the system. So these airlines that are charging you for stuff to bring on, I'm like, okay, I'll meet you. I can beat you. Like, I'm not paying for you to take my bag. I'm going to do it. I'm going to travel with like the micro bag. And Instagram served me a bag that fits into like the Frontier airline size bag. Yep. And the thing that's amazing about it is the wheels come off. So you take the wheels off, you fit it into the thing, and then you can put the wheels back on.
That's smart.
So, oh, it's so great. That's my new favorite travel one. My for traveling with the family, we each bring a bag. And then we have a large bag that we check, that I pay to check. And in the large bag goes all shoes, all like when you're going to the water, snorkeling stuff goes in that bag. And then I bring a fold-up laundry bag.
Oh, smart.
And that, yeah. And so then the boys know where to put their laundry, throw your laundry in the laundry bag. And then generally either we do laundry and everybody's clothes will go back in their bags, or we'll just shove the giant laundry bag into the giant duffel and, you know, put the books and the coffee that we've bought into everybody's smaller bag to refill and put their shoes in those bag and kind of like, you know, rejigger it that way. But this bag, the big duffel that we have, it's so great. It it's from Eagle. And it folds up. So when it's at home, it like origamis down to the small little. Yeah. And so, but then it's very robust, has the two wheels. So it's easy to, well, I'm not schlepping it. Let's be honest here. Brent's schlepping it. But it is schleppable. And the other thing that we had for the boys, now they're too big for this, but there's a product called a Trunky. And it's a little baby suitcase for kids and usually has like an animal theme. Like you can get a tiger one or a panda one. And there are four wheels on it and has nice little straps for little hands to carry. But they can sit on it and you can pull them through the airport.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. And people always were stopping and talking to us about them. They wanted to hear about them. But you know, kids' clothes are smaller. They don't need as big a bag. So all of their clothes would fit in the little Trunky. And yeah, I highly recommend those little Trunkies. Throw that in the Amazon links because those are great bags.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down here. Wow, I think we've filled out a half hour of travel and we haven't even touched on everything.
I know, but maybe we can do another one.
And people, if you want to send us your travel tips, it's radio@gardenfork.tv, radio@gardenfork.tv, and we could revisit this. I'm excited to travel again. I have a little, I think we can do, I'll be more organized. Oh, the last thing is take photos of your passports. Because if
Yes.
you lose them, then you have all the information right there when you go to the embassy or whatever it is, the government office.
Council.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nicole and I are going to stick
Consulate.
around for the after show if you're interested in supporting Garden Fork Radio and the YouTube channel. That is through Patreon. And with my patrons, I share photos, sometimes just me walking and talking, brain dumps, interesting links to things. A lot of, I'm like a YouTuber, so I share YouTube videos. That's all information for that is in the show notes below. And yeah, so thanks. Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you
We're
soon.
gonna, you're gonna talk to me at the after show. Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goots. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.